Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, peace be with you. Good morning to everyone, and a special welcome to those consecrated in religious life and lay religious life as well. Today we, on the day after the Feast of the Purification, it is the World Day of Recognition of those in consecrated life. So we're very grateful for those who serve in our diocese as religious sisters, brothers, and people consecrated as lay people. We now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love everyone in truth of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. But do you gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
I will sing of your salvation. I will sing of your salvation.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all the mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be wrought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. And when the perfect comes, the partial will be passed away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially. Then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So, faith, hope, love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah went, but only to the widow in Sephrathah, in the land of Zidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elijah, the prophet, and yet none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away." The Gospel of the Lord.
In just a moment, we will recognize several of our sisters who have served, more than served, have consecrated their lives to Almighty God and to the Church, and some have done so for many, many years of commitment. So we will do that in just a moment. I have to say, sisters, every time you're in front of me, I cannot help but reflect on the importance of who you are in the Church. And to do so from my own experience. And as I looked at you this morning at the beginning of the Mass, for some reason this scenario came up. Fifth grade, 70 kids in one classroom, the huge fans sweeping across the room with roaring noise, and sister in the front calling out words on the practice spelling on Wednesday before the final spelling test on Friday. And as ingenious fifth graders, I had certain notes, actually the spellings of the words I couldn't remember, right in front of me. And I put those on the test. Sister had a different idea that week because she was going to catch all of us who cheated. And she did. I cheated on three words. The punishment was to write those three words 1,000 times each and bring them in the next day. I was not the only one, please. There were others. So I went home dejected, rejected, feeling bad, guilty, everything else. And for sure, my mother and dad would have mercy on me. I brought it to my father's attention as I was still sitting up at 11 o'clock at night in the fifth grade writing something. What happened? And I told him. And he said, I'll call sister in the morning. And of course, I thought I was safe. What I didn't know that he and sister cut a deal. Take what he's bringing in this morning and I'll make sure he does the rest tonight. I say that because you and the families work together. And that is what the church is about, that we work together. In those kinds of exercises, many today would say that's punishment. It was not. It was justice and it was charity. Teaching me to be honest, teaching me to follow through with what had to be done. And I'm not sure what those three words are, but I think today I probably spell them correctly. The church is a body. And at the conclusion of that analogy of the hand and the eyes and the ears and the feet, the head, which we're very familiar with in the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul ends that with what we read today. Seek the higher gifts. Seek what is above. Of all the gifts, love is what endures. The ancient poet, Roman poet, Virgil, wrote these words, which you may be very familiar with. Omnia vincit amor. Love conquers everything. Love conquers all. The distortion of the word love in our society does not give us much to hold on to when we think of love conquering all. But what true love is, the meaning of love, is the willingness of one person to give up their life for their brothers and sisters. And that is why the cross that is above me, behind me, is the ultimate symbol for the Christian. Without the cross, there is no true Christianity. There can be no true Christianity without a proclamation of the cross. Because the cross is not an expression of suffering. On the outside, in the human side, yes. But the question is always for us, what was inside the Lord Jesus? What is inside is that he willingly, and we will hear that in the consecration of the bread and the wine into his body and blood today, he willingly went to the cross for us. Consecration that we see in you, dear sisters, is that willingness to sacrifice for another. The willingness in the image of Jesus Christ to sacrifice, to give up what could be, what could have been in your life. But you were called from your mother's womb to sacrifice yourself for your brothers and sisters, in your communities, the people you serve, and for the church throughout the world. To be a part of the body of Christ, a witness to the body of Christ of love. And love conquers all. St. Paul reminds us today that love never fails. Love never fails. Sacrificing ourselves never fails. If we give, we receive. The life of the gospel, the life of God, is opposite from us. If there are prophecies, they'll be brought to nothing. If there are tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, and how many of us put so much emphasis on what we know, but we also know from experience that our knowledge is sometimes brought to nothing by our inabilities to continue to think in this life. Love is what endures, and love is what conquers. Jesus went into his hometown of Nazareth in the gospel today, and it's a continuation of last Sunday's gospel when Jesus took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back. He sat down. Everyone was looking at him because they knew that passage, and they were waiting for that person to come and fulfill that prophecy. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled." And as we continue that reading today in the gospel, we see that what the reaction was. We see that Jesus said that, again, "This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all were amazed at the beauty of his words. Words, the word of God, the word proclaimed is beautiful, but it has to be backed up by witness. If we are consecrated, then what we hear every Sunday here, what we read in the scriptures, must be verified by our lives. And we know, sisters and brothers, that we in the church today fall far short of that obligation. But is all lost? We are people of hope as well. We are people who say, yes, we have failed. Yes, our faith may have wavered and our love diminished in many cases. But what we as a people of God today need is hope to move forward. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Certainly he's not going to be the one to bring us what we need. Certainly he's not the one that God is sending to us to liberate us. Jesus, knowing those thoughts, said, "Surely you will say to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in Nazareth what we heard you did in Capernaum." In other words, make miracles for us. And don't many of us base our hope on miracles? I want to see a miracle. I want to see a miracle. The miracle, sisters and brothers, is that in the womb of our mothers, God knew us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Today, sitting here, God knows you. God knows me better than I know myself. That's the miracle. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus went on to again change the mentality of those people who were looking for what their categories would understand as the Messiah. And he said, "In the days of Elijah, there was a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and only to her was help sent. And in the days of Elisha, the next prophet, no one was cleansed from their leprosy except Naaman the Syrian. And those two, the widow and the leper, were not part of the people. They were outside. They were strangers. and yet those were the ones that were cured. God does not work in our categories. And unfortunately, our faith is based on the categories that we present to God. I'll conclude with just a little exercise that I think would be good to help understand this in concrete ways during this week. How did you get up this morning? What was your first thought this morning? What was your first thought yesterday, Saturday? Or maybe, what will your first thought be Monday morning? My team lost. I got to go to work. Oh, it's going to be a long week. Oh, it's going to be rainy today. If that's how we get up and that's our first thought, that's the way the day will proceed. If we really want to develop our faith, if we really want to be people of hope, we need to get up each morning and say, Lord, I am your servant. Do with me as you will. Let whatever you want to be in my life today come. That's the Christian. That's the person who doesn't dictate to God what life should be, but the one who humbly receives what God gives them. That's what's true. That's what keeps us pure and focused. That's who we are. And so amidst all the shame and embarrassment of the church today, we who want to be lights in a dark world must change the way we think, to change even the way we get up in the morning. Put a crucifix next to your bed. Put a picture of Jesus on the wall next to you. Get out of bed and stand in front of him and just talk to him. What do you got prepared for me today? Joke with him. Just make me ready. Be there at my side. Talk with him. And I'm sure, I know, that what he prepares for us every day will be a grace for us and for those around us. I exhort all of us, let's make our church, our diocese, our parishes more beautiful than ever. This is the time that we start over. This is the time that we truly commit ourselves with faith. In my mother's womb, you formed me. In my mother's womb, you knew me. Thank you to all of you who live your faith and who want to rededicate yourself in a new way to living your faith. And thank you, sisters, for your dedication in a true way in religious life in the church. God bless you. Today, as we celebrate the World Day of Consecrated Life, we take the opportunity to recognize those who are celebrating their jubilees. This year, we will acknowledge with gratitude consecrated lives of our sisters ranging from 25 years to 75 years of consecration. Jubilarians, as I call your names, please stand and be recognized by the Diocese, the Church of Corpus Christi. From the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, Sister Mary Ann Espinosa, 50 years of consecrated life. Some of these may not be able to be here, Sister Anna Marie. Others may not be here because of pastoral work or illness. But Sister Jude Janischek, 60 years. I don't think she's here yet. And also from Incarnate Word, Sister Catherine Brahani, 70 years of consecrated life. Yeah. Sister Caroline Fritter, 60 years of consecrated life. And Sister Agnes Marie Tingler, 75 years of consecrated life. Sister Agnes Marie's health is not well enough to permit her to be here with us today, but we certainly, many of us, know her. From the Pax Christi Institute, Sister Teresa Marie Diaz, 25 years. You have a long way to go. And from the Religious Missionaries of St. Dominic, Sister Amor Vigar, 45 years. And from the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, Sister Margaret Mary, 50 years. My dear sisters and brothers, you have committed yourselves to the Lord through professing the evangelical counsels of celibate, chastity, poverty, and obedience. On behalf of His Church, I thank you for your years of dedicated service. In the presence of this assembly, I invite all of you now to please stand with our jubilarians and renew your commitment to follow Christ in a consecrated life. Most Blessed Trinity, we have now heard the renewal of commitment of our sisters to their consecrated life. To the assembly, let us assure them of our continued prayers and support. If you'll please say with me. We, the Church of Corpus Christi, thank God for the witness and service given us by these women. And we will continue to support them and share with them the hopes and the fears, the joys and the challenges of our life together in Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, you have invited these women to a life of public service in and to your church. May they continue to bear witness to the great grace of their vocation, persevering in a life of prayer and service. May you fulfill in them the hundredfold promised to those who give up all for the sake of the gospel. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we congratulate them, I would also like to add the name of Sister Piedad, who is one of the Pink Sisters. I'll give her 50 years. I don't want to embarrass her with more. I think it was more, though. But anyway, to her as well, congratulations to all of you. And now, my dear friends, aware of so many needs in the world around us and of God's immense love, profess our creed first. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And now, with the many needs in our world, and with God's immense love in front of us, we present these needs to our Father, trusting in his mercy.
Archbishop Michael, and all who shepherd our church, may the Lord strengthen them with the gifts of the Spirit. We pray to the Lord. For our national and world leaders, may they have the courage to govern with integrity and seek justice for all. We pray to the Lord. For all of our religious brothers and sisters in consecrated life, that their personal desire to live out the evangelical counsels, to know and love God, find them continuing to seek more time to be in God's presence, we pray to the Lord. For the young people of our community, that they may be encouraged and supported in their faith by their parents, teachers, and friends, we pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here in faith, may the Spirit guide us in living our call to love one another in our daily lives, we pray to the Lord. For those who have died in a special way, Joseph H. Mueller, Jesus Gomez, Norma Cleric, Frank Garza Jr., and any deceased members of our men and women in consecrated life, may they find joy and peace in the heavenly kingdom. We pray to the Lord. For those who are needing marriage convalidations and or reconciliation, and for those intentions we now offer from the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Almighty Father, you invited the prophets and your disciples to do your work in the world. Hear our prayers for those needs that we have now voiced, and grant them according to your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord.
O Lord, we bring to your altar these offerings of our service. Be pleased to receive them, we pray, and transform them into the sacrament of our redemption. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you so loved the world.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.